Hey, what's up? It's Austin here, and we are back with another episode of The Sound Table, and I am joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
I'm excited to be back. I think, honestly, though, before we jump into what we want to talk about, I did want to talk about the reception that we've been getting with The Sound Table recently, especially, I think, since we're doing the video podcast now. I feel like these past two episodes that we've done, we've gotten, like, the best feedback ever. So if you've been watching, if you've been listening, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. Let us know what you want to hear us talk about, because this is kind of just like our way of either saying what's on our mind or addressing things that we have questions on that don't really fit on our YouTube channel or are too long to kind of answer in our Facebook group. So if there are any topics that you want to see us talk about, definitely let us know in the comments below or shoot us a DM on Instagram. If you're not following us, it's just Make Pop Music. But other than that, I just wanted to take a quick second to say thank you, because I feel like everybody's been so nice about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying doing it, honestly. So we're going to keep doing it as long as you guys keep listening. But today, I think we are specifically talking about live music. This is a topic that Miranda actually wrote down. So I'll let you kind of jump in and fill people in on what we're going to talk about with live music.
I just wanted to talk about the importance of live music and like the experience that you have going to see live music and how it makes you feel and how it, like, I don't know, it just, it's truly, there's nothing like it, I don't think. And I just thought it would be a fun subject to talk about, because pretty much everyone has been to live music and for been to live music seen concerts live, and for such a long time with the pandemic, we couldn't go to live concerts. And right. I feel like that all affected us so much more than we even realized. Like, I feel like now that we're able to go, I'm really like, oh, damn, that was like a huge.
Yeah, there's like a solid year and a half where tours did not happen. Because even after lockdown ended and like even as vaccines were coming out, people were still, there just wasn't the infrastructure to tour.
Yeah.
Like, not enough people could work to fill stadiums, not enough people could, you know, book hotels and travel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, touring was shut down for like probably close to 2 years.
Yeah, and it was scary, spooky.
Which I think is now reflected in the fucking ticket prices. Everything is so expensive.
Yeah, that is a whole subject.
We've been to some of my favorite concerts post-COVID. We went and saw Harry Styles.
Yes.
We went and saw Taylor Swift. We just went and saw Olivia Rodrigo on her Guts tour.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Half Alive a couple times. Mm-hmm. Who else have we been to?
I think that's it, no?
I don't know. I feel like I'm missing stuff. We've gone to like other like smaller shows and stuff like that. We've gone to like, we went to like the amphitheater tour. We went and saw Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
But like every time that I go see live music, especially as somebody who makes music a bunch, I just feel super like inspired and super excited to get back to work.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just one of those things of like every single concert I go to, I come back and I like write one of my favorite songs
it's
I've
true.
Ever done.
You do. You really do. Every single time we leave a concert, he's always like, man, I feel so inspired. Like, that was so amazing. I think it just makes you feel so like rejuvenated. Like, not just you, but like I think a lot of different people. But I think especially people who work in the industry, I think it's just inspiring to be like, dude, one day that someone's going to be singing my songs in this amphitheater. Like, it's crazy to think about that.
It is. And I think it really just kind of like puts into scale like what I do. Like, I make videos and I work on songs. Like, you know, I've had hundreds of millions of streams on songs that I've produced and millions of views on videos that I've produced and hundreds of thousands of subscribers. And that's all great. But like,
brag over here.
I know. It seems like a flex. I was going to say all of that is to say that like, I understand every single one of those is like a real person, but there's that dissonance of like just seeing a number online where when you go to Amway or TSN or whatever they call it now, like that's 20,000 people that have all congregated there to support something that they all have a common interest in.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people make friends at concerts and so many people go to concerts with their friends and make memories. And it's, you know, it's like a big formative experience, especially for younger people going out to some of their early concerts. And then even for older people, like for me, it's just a chance to kind of see like, I mean, I'm almost 30.
Yeah, but
so
that's not older people.
Fucking tell that to us and Olivia Rodrigo a couple weeks ago.
Okay, yeah, there were some children there.
Yeah, we were old there.
But that was one of my favorite things about that concert was that was obviously so many of their, I would imagine their first concerts, because some of them were like
9 years old.
Yeah, like 10, like, I mean, most of them I would say were like teenagers. But that was my first concert was when I was probably a teen. The one that I remember, of course. Well,
Fall
Out
Boy,
like,
right?
Yeah, it was Fall Out Boy when I was like 13 and with my bestie. It was so much fun. But yeah, I think it was just, it's so cool to sit there and you're like seeing all these little kids and you're like, Wow. I'm just watching them experience their first time at a concert. Like, it's so wholesome.
Yeah. And I think you can like see how much your music actually means to people. Like, yeah. I was going to say with a numbers thing, it's like I can look at Spotify and like see how many people have listened to my music. And that's cool to me. Mm-hmm. But like to see how it affects somebody in real time is just such a different experience. And mm-hmm. to like see that when I lock myself in a studio and make a song for a week or whatever, like even if there's not 20,000 people that will fill up Kia Center, I'm going to have that effect on at least a couple.
Yeah.
So, you know, every kid that was in there that loves Olivia Rodrigo or Taylor Swift that much, like there's probably one person out there that listens to my music and feels like that towards me.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to see it in person because like, I feel like especially online numbers can skew. Like you could hit a bot farm and have hundreds of thousands of streams and none of those are real people at all. Mm-hmm. Or you could have 500 streams and every single one of those, it was like a transformative experience for that person listening to it.
Yeah.
But you never really know online, but you do know when you go to a concert and you see all of those people screaming and crying and throwing up and you just see people having a good time and like people pay money to go out and support it, which is another thing that we can talk about later, which is like how financially supportive touring is for artists.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know, for years, I was like not a very emotional person. Like I grew up never crying, like actively trying not to like show emotions, trying
typical
to like
man.
Feel things. And like, I've gotten better at that. Like that's not a flex that I went years without shedding a tear. That was like horrible.
Yeah, that's
but now I feel like every time I go to a concert, I just like can't help but cry. It's like the most beautiful thing. Even if I don't even care about the artist, like seeing how much somebody does is such an emotional experience
it's
for
so
me.
Emotional.
Like, I don't know. Some of my other favorite concerts that we've been to were like Jonas Brothers. That was probably like the first time that I ever like let loose at a concert and like danced and sang along and just like let myself have fun and didn't stand there like this in the back trying to act like I'm just like the music producer who's like hanging out watching music.
Like, I can't have fun and sing along and dance. I was so proud of you. I had so much fun at that concert with you.
And then like we went and saw Halsey and that was a big one for you because like at the time that was like one of your favorite artists and it was her first time playing like arenas and...
Yeah, that was the first time I saw her was at UCF. It was her biggest concert she had played. It was
it was at the basketball arena.
Yeah,
there.
In front of
like
10,000 people, which is a lot of people, but it's crazy now because, well, she doesn't tour right now, but you know.
But what's cool about that specifically is that like that was a really important show for you to go to, but it was an equally important show for Halsey to play because that was, again, her first time playing in front of more than maybe 3,000 people.
Yeah.
That wasn't like a big festival where it's just like a 20-minute set or whatever.
Yeah.
And like that's the beauty of live music is like... Whether it's a dive bar show or Raymond James Stadium is like, it doesn't matter if it's 100 people or 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
Getting people together that share a common interest and that can just hang out and socialize and like unwind and just like really pour themselves into something. I'm not a very religious person. I don't go to church or anything like that. That's like the closest to like a church like religious experience that I ever have.
I'm literally like not kidding you. I was literally going to say that. I was
going
be like,
to live music.
I don't know what it feels like because I'm also not religious, but I imagine that that is what I hope at least that is what people feel like in church is like how you feel at a concert is like so just overwhelmed with emotion and so like happy and fulfilled and just like
feel it's safe.
Yeah. And like when you're talking about getting emotional at concerts, when we were at the Olivia Rodrigo concert, I was like, I have a few songs where like that make me like want to like scream and then like one scream cry almost when you sing them. But her one song, Teenage Dream, on her new album, she played that on piano. I don't know what it was. I think it's because she was playing like a VHS, like on the screen behind her. It was like the VHS
really
of her
cute.
As a kid. And then it was like playing audio clips at the end. I was getting choked up in the middle of her singing that song. I was like, ooh, why am I about to cry right now while she was singing it? And it was just, I love those moments where it's like, you don't expect to cry, but you're like, ooh, wait, I just like got hit in the feels right now. And then when you listen to, well, like, okay, not a Olivia Rodrigo concert, I didn't cry when I first heard the song, but I remember for the longest time when I would hear, I think it was Gasoline by Halsey, that was what she opened with.
Yeah.
The first time I saw her. And every single time I heard that song after, it hit me in the chest the same way and made me want to cry.
It like reforms your first time hearing a song. It's like there's the first time you hear a song and then there's the first time that you hear the song live.
Yes.
And they're two very different distinctive memories.
Yeah. And like that first song like that they open with is always the one that I feel like really remembering the most.
Yeah.
And yeah, for the longest time, every time I listen to that song, it hit me right in the chest.
I just, I don't know. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't gone to a concert or whatever in a long time, like, I highly implore you to just find tickets to somebody that you halfway like and just go and have a good time and meet people, hang out with people. You don't have to spend a ton of money. You don't have to go to a 3 hour long, you know, Eras tour set, but just go see live music because like it is such a unique experience. And maybe I'm just biased because obviously music is like very important to me specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I'm at a concert, I'm like, no, music is that important to a lot
yeah.
of people.
Yeah. You're not unique in that. I don't think like everywhere, like, that's what's funny is that I love music. Don't get me wrong. No one come for me. I love music, but it's not my whole life. Like, I know it is for you and for probably a lot of people listening to this and a lot of people in general. Like, I love music. I listen to it probably every day.
But you're not one of those people where like you're having a bad day, so like you turn on songs to make you feel better. Where like me, like I'll actively be in a bad mood if I've gone more than like 48 hours without listening to music. Like I can tell, I'm like, I just need to go pop headphones in or like sit in a car and listen to something for 10 minutes and then I'm fine.
Yeah. So like I can't even like I can't imagine how important and amazing those experiences are for you when music is like all that more important to you than even is to me, when it is very important to me. But I definitely, there are certain songs that I view as like important to me or like help me process my emotions or help me get through something or hit really close to home or whatever. And those obviously like make me feel in my feels or whatever. But it's rare that I like, I don't know. I just don't feel like.
On the spectrum, you're definitely a pretty passive music listener.
Yes.
But I'm like, that's not a bad thing.
No. And like, I'm boring though, guys. I have like terrible taste in music. I listen to the same like five artists all the time. And they're always the top artists out of the most popular. It's like my, I'm aware of that flaw in myself. Okay.
But she's not the tastemaker.
I'm really not. Like, girls listening to Harry Styles' album that came out 2 years ago. Like, I'm boring and I know that, but I love that for other people that they get to, they listen to a wide range of music and then they get to go to even more concerts. That's one thing maybe that would be my goal for this year, to listen to more.
Push yourself a little more.
Yeah, but I'm such a comfort person and
I know,
you know, I have my comfort.
But all of that to albums. Say that like, that's how you feel about music in general and like concerts still mean that much
exactly,
to you.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's what, like, that was my roundabout way of saying that.
Yeah,
yes.
I got you. I locked in.
My ADHD brain went on too many side quests, sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, like, I don't know. Every time I go to a live concert, for me, I'm like, I'm so motivated. I feel like I'm so like driven and like I have that pinpoint of like, it makes me not care about numbers or about like how a song does, you know, is this song going to chart? Is this song going to get 5 million streams? Is this song going to whatever? Like, as long as it, you know, can affect one or two people, like how it affected everybody that I just saw at a concert, like I'm cool with that.
Yeah. It like reminds you that it's about how it makes you feel more than the numbers or the charts or whatever the heck.
Right. Yeah. I just love live music. It's one of those things too of like, I kind of hinted at this earlier, but I think it is the best way to support an artist. Like, you look at things like streaming payouts on DSPs and you look at things like, you know, people don't really buy albums unless they're buying things like vinyl.
Vinyls did come back, but that's hard like, for smaller artists.
Nobody has a fucking CD player. Yeah, because vinyls are so expensive to print.
So expensive.
You have to do a minimum order and you're probably, unless you're going to charge like $60 for a vinyl, not going to really make a profit.
Exactly.
And honestly, like, big artists basically book out those vinyl printing facilities for months. So you have to have your song. Like, Joan did a vinyl pressing of Superglue when
it
came out.
I'm so happy they got to do that.
Me too, but that album was finished like 7 months before they released it because they had to print vinyl and they had to do merch runs. And
I think like, it was a pre-order.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And like, it's so difficult for artists to do that. And that's really like the way that an artist make money. We talked about it a little bit on our merch episode. If you haven't listened to that, that's a really good one to listen to in terms of like, if you're an artist or if you're in the music industry and want to learn how to like make a little bit more income or how to support somebody in the industry, merch is like the biggest way to do it. And with like the music specifically, live shows is the best way to support an artist, whether they're on a label or a publisher or they're independent, if they're playing dive bars or arenas, like the cut that artists get from shows is significant to their income. And the merch that they sell at those shows is significant. And, you know, it goes back to that thing. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before of like, do you want a half a penny fan or do you want $100 fan as an artist? And a half a penny fan is basically somebody who finds you on Spotify, listens to your music and thinks that's a really cool song. I'll download it and I'll listen to it a couple more times. And then $100 fan is somebody that you find and you're like, this is so good. I want to go buy their merch. I want to go buy their vinyl. I want to go see them on tour. And so if you're an artist, you only need $1,100 fans, and that's six figures, where you need millions and millions and millions of streams to make six figures.
Right.
And so when you go to a tour, when you spend 30, 40, 50, 150 bucks on a ticket, there's a lot of people that obviously have to get paid, right? Like,
right.
You've got to pay for like the production of the tour. You've got to pay tour managers. You've got to pay dancers, backup singers, live band, sound person, equipment. Like, obviously the artist is not making, you know, 80% of what you pay. But with that said, the money that they make off of that ticket that they sell alone is, it's like you listening to their album 30,000 times on Spotify.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's really important for, like, if you really care about an artist, try to go see them live, because not only is it going to be a transformative experience for you, it is also a way to make sure that they can continue making music.
Yeah.
Because the music industry right now is hard to make a living in, with things like the ease of access on Spotify and even apps that pay well, like Tidal. It's just, there's too much music out there. It's too easy to access. When I was in middle school, if I wanted an album, I had to buy the fucking album. Mm-hmm. Even if I only wanted to hear two songs, it's $13 at Target that you had to spend. Even and that not, artist got it.
Even not that long ago, like when we were in high school, you had to pay for individual albums on Apple mm-hmm. Music. Like Apple Music wasn't streaming like it is now.
$1.29 a song.
Yeah. Or you had to pay like $15.99 for the album or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which made you care a lot more about the music that you consume.
Yeah, you had to be very particular.
Yeah, and like, I think
it's good and bad. Like, right. It's such a gray area. It's like hard.
I have a lot of friends who wouldn't have a career if that exactly. were still the system.
Exactly.
And I have a lot of people that probably would have done better off of that system than they do now in streaming. But all of that is to say, I can't change the streaming payout. I'm not a congressman. I don't own Spotify. I don't work for DSPs. I have no skin in the game. Like, I can't do anything. But what I can do is I can go to a show. I can go buy a t-shirt. I can invite other people to a show, because those small transactions that you only have to do once or twice a year to support an artist are more than 10 years of you streaming their music. I promise you.
Yeah.
So,
and you're never going to regret going to a concert.
Ever.
I probably promise you that. Except the one time I actually only regret not going to a concert when Dua, when Dua Lipa was here, and I was like, I don't know. Do I want to go? I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I really wasn't thinking, I guess. Should've
I think at that time, too, tickets. Like, she was coming off of that era where she had kind of gotten memed for, like, her dancing and her performance. I know that this was future nostalgia, but we hadn't seen enough of the tour to know how much she had stepped up her live performance.
No, I had kind of seen enough of
then
it.
Then you're a goofball.
I was just a goofy goober.
I think the tickets
here.
Too were only, like, $150 for, like, lower bowl.
Yeah, they went down to $130.
That's
and
insane.
Then I was like, maybe
those
I'll buy
now
them.
Be $500.
I know. And then I was like, oh, I'll buy them. And then I checked, like, I forgot. And then I checked, like, 30 minutes, an hour later, whatever it was, and they were gone. And I was like, that makes sense.
I will say, I don't know if we want to talk about it this episode or if we want to do a whole episode on it, but the one thing about live concerts is just how fucking bad, like, ticket reselling has gotten.
Oh my God.
Obviously,
it's
like,
ridiculous.
We all know about it with Taylor Swift and everything. Like,
yeah, we were lucky enough when we saw her to get them for the
we got
a pre-sale code. Yeah, so we actually bought them for the actual price they were supposed to be, which wasn't a bad price. But then when you have people selling those same tickets for like $5,000 for upper bowl, like,
and my thing is like, what's crazy. Shitty about that is that then that does not go to the artist.
Yes, and then so, there's some people who are like naive about it, and they're like, that's for that concert and that's what they're charging for, you're gonna go see her for that much. And it's like,
yeah, people canceling Post Malone because his ticket was $1,700. He doesn't control like, that.
She's not charging that much. Some jabroni bought it for $200 and is reselling it with an extra zero behind it. Like, it's not the artist's fault.
We are starting to see more and more now that like, some artists are making it to where you can't resell a concert ticket for over face value.
Yeah.
But
that's what they should do.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
That should be a law.
But
I don't
my
know
argument
how it's not.
Is, I know scalping is a law. I can't stand out front of
that's
Kia
what I'm
Center
saying.
And sell magic tickets for $700.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll literally get shot in the parking lot. Like,
well, we do live in Florida, so yeah, that's
like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand why.
Yeah, one's that, legal like, and one's not.
I don't know. I think the same thing about sneakers. Like, I'm into sneakers and like, mm-hmm. I'm the jackass that will go buy a pair of Jordans for like $400 because I wasn't able to get them on the sneaker app. But
yeah,
like,
but that's even, I don't know, that still feels different because that's a physical item. That's a limited amount.
Yeah.
People are paying $2,000 to go see somebody for one night.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
What I will say too is that like, in some artist's defense, the artist doesn't really always get to be the person that decides if they want to impose that resale clause.
Right.
A lot of these artists are under Live Nation contracts. Live Nation is basically who owns Ticketmaster. It's who funds any tour that's over the size of like a House of, like,
not
even
Monopoly,
tour,
though. How?
Yeah. House of Blues tours, Live Nation. Hard Rock tours, Live Nation. Stadium tours, Live Nation. They are like the, they literally have a monopoly.
Lil Nas X, that's who else we saw live.
Lil Nas X was incredible.
That was an incredible show.
We'll come
show.
Back to that in 1 second.
Yeah.
Because that show, I do want to talk about that show. That show was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Live Nation, they're pieces of shit, basically. And like, they will make it to where artists can't impose a resale clause.
Yeah.
Because in their mind, they think this, even though we don't get a big profit of that, which sometimes they do, because sometimes they'll run sites where people resell and then they take fees on it two or three times.
I was going to say, they take fees and like, they take service fees, which I don't, I think are a percentage. I don't think it's normally a set amount.
Yeah, they are a percentage.
Well, there you go.
And so it's just, it's shitty to me though, because like, if I buy a Taylor Swift ticket for $3,000, like, she already made the $250 that ticket cost months
ago.
And so like, you're not really directly supporting the artist like that. Like, it's still great to go, especially if it's not a massive markup, because you can buy merch, you can do other things. But like, if you can try to buy tickets at retail, that's great. But it's so hard now. I think
so,
because of COVID,
hard.
Like we talked about earlier, like, there's just such a demand for concerts. But yeah, something needs to be done about these resellers, because it is.
And it's fucked up to take away that experience from people.
Well, like, then you go to concerts, like, you go to concerts and you see empty seats everywhere and you're like, what the fuck is it? Like,
well, because they're charging ridiculous amounts.
Especially because a lot of them are just like bots that buy up whole sections. Like,
or like,
it's like
how have we not
investment
figured that
companies.
Out?
Like,
how have we not figured that out?
I don't know. It's so irritating.
Like, I'm like, tech is so good and you guys haven't figured out how to keep people from hiring bot farms to buy a bunch of tickets and then scalp them and sell them for 5 times the price.
Yeah, I would say that right now is definitely the worst part of live music. Is it like,
and it pisses me off because it's ruined. It's so many people are missing out on these experiences, or these people are going into debt because they're like, I cannot miss out on this concert.
If you look at the concerts that we've been to, you look at Olivia Rodrigo, you look at Harry Styles, you look at Taylor Swift, you look at Lil Nas X. We got some of those at retail, and we got some of those at resale.
Yeah, more than three of them.
I spent more on one ticket for Olivia Rodrigo then we spent for like four of us to go to Taylor Swift.
Well, like, there were six of us that went to Taylor Swift.
I know, but like, it wasn't more than six.
Yeah, thank God.
But like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's crazy. It was a smaller tour. It was a set that was half as long.
It was a Christmas present, in case you're wondering why the fuck he bought expensive tickets. He got it as a Christmas present for me.
Also, I like to go. Like,
yeah,
I'll go
I
if I can. But like, I mean, it even happens with basketball tickets. Like, we go to basketball games pretty often, and like, I don't know. If you get the tickets, you can get like lower bowl, or you can even get courtside for like a couple hundred bucks a ticket if you get them on opening. But if you don't, $1,500, $1,600, $1,700, it's crazy, dude.
It's crazy.
That's the issue with live events. So if anybody from Live Nation, if anybody from Live Nation is listening to this, either do something about it or leave. It's awful. It's literally such a shitty company.
Yeah, whoever can change that. You should do it. You should change it.
It's hard for artists though, because like, they are the only people that have the infrastructure or the contracts to get them in the facilities that they want to play, to get them the equipment that they need.
Like, artists need to like band together and like do something about
unionize.
It. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, unionize, guys. So I'm like, you guys have all the freaking power in reality. So I don't know. I guess they have a lot on their plate. Maybe, who knows?
But either way, I think it's still worth trying to go, even if you do have to pay resale. I just think, be wary, because like, some people might think, oh yeah, I had to pay a lot, but like, at least the artist gets that. They don't get that money if it's resold.
Nope, some jabroni who resold it does.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
We can change to a happier topic.
Let's do it.
What is one of the favorite concerts that you've been to?
That's what I was just about to bring up.
Oh my God.
Can y'all hear our cat meowing outside the door?
I know, she wants to come in.
That's our cat, Chloe.
I could let her in, but I think
she'll fuck this shit
up. Yeah, she'll be crazy. Too many wires.
Favorite concerts I've been to? I don't know. Like, honestly, that Jonas Brothers concert was big for me, because it was like the first time that like I like let myself have fun and didn't stand there like a jabroni trying to act too cool for school.
How many times are we gonna say the word jabroni? Y'all take
a shot.
Yeah, take a shot every time I say that word.
Somebody commented on our last podcast, and they were like, taking a shot every time y'all say like, and I was like, you're welcome for liver failure.
That's what they said. I think they said something about their liver, and I was like, oh, cool. Everyone says
like when I moved to Virginia Beach as a kid, that was like what everybody said there was.
Really?
Like, oh, dude, it was crazy.
Why?
I don't know. That was just their conjunction of choice.
Interesting.
That was their filler word. Anyway, back on track.
Yeah, we're just getting distracted.
Favorite concert? Yeah, I loved the Jonas Brothers concert that we went to. It was like the Happier Than Ever tour. It was forever ago. It was
like
when they first had an album come back. They did like the 2019? Amazon documentary. I think that's how we got tickets. We were watching that documentary.
We're like, we should go.
A little intoxicated. And we were like, let's go fucking relive our childhood. Let's go see Year 3000.
But we got floor seats for like 150.
70 bucks or something.
Oh, I thought they were like 150 a piece.
Maybe, even
but
still.
But they were really good price.
And it was a great show. They played all the classics. They played Year 3000.
Yeah, incredible to hear
They played
live.
When You Look Me in the Eyes.
Yeah. It was really good.
That was a great one. Taylor was obviously just like a whole different level because it being a 3-hour set and being in a stadium and like her having the acoustic set and like still taking moments for fan interaction. Like we've been to other stadium tours that are similar size crowds where there was no crowd interaction. It's so on a schedule that like they're literally just like, Tampa, what's up? And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where like Taylor stops her show. She lets the audience applaud. She, you know, will
hang
out.
She talks to you, talks about the songs or whatever. That I almost so have to consider like a whole other entity. Like it can't even be considered a concert almost. It's like its own experience because it truly.
It's like going to see a soccer game in the United States and then like going to see a football game in like Real Madrid or something like that. It's like, it's just a whole different.
Yeah.
I had a great time at the Orlando City game the other day. It's not Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's just a whole experience.
Yeah.
And for one, it being that long and then it going through, I don't know. We've talked about her a lot on this
podcast.
It's
just such a specific thing.
And I know everyone has and everyone's been like, it's such an incredible experience, but it really is.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you experienced it, you know what we're talking about. It's just like a whole other entity. But that obviously is probably going to be everyone's best concert for the next 20 years. So
Harry Styles is really great. We went and saw him at the Kia Forum in LA a couple years ago. That was such a good concert. That was the most emotional experience I've ever had at a concert.
That's because his one song is like...
Yeah.
Too emotional for
me. It hits close to home.
It's a little too close to home for me. It makes me cry.
And he sounded great. His band was great. It was like a fun concert.
Yeah, his band was amazing.
Yeah. Who else?
I think one of my favorites is...
Olivia Rodrigo's last concert was great.
Yeah.
Oh, Half Alive is like one of my favorite smaller shows I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never seen Half Alive perform live,
it's amazing.
They're incredible. We actually went. We didn't know who they were. We went because my friend Riley was tour managing them and was just like, hey, come hang out. And we were like, okay. So we went and saw them, not really knowing who the band was. And they just fucking, they ripped it so hard that we became like fans overnight.
They do such like an, it's just like.
They do a
so
lot with
different.
A little. Yeah.
Yeah. They like, they have dancers, which is like, what? A band having dancers?
Like, it's like performance art almost.
Yeah, it is like performance art. And they have like, I don't know. They just so cool. They just do like the coolest thing.
And they sound insane.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw
they
them at the Beecham one year, and then we saw them at House of Blues not too long ago.
Yeah.
And then we like got to meet everybody. We became friends with the drummer, Brett, and he's like one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, he's so sweet.
So if you haven't seen Half Alive, they're so, so fucking good live.
Yeah.
But anyway, who are you going to say?
I was going to say Lil Nas X.
So fine. We went and saw him at the Hard Rock Live, which doesn't do a ton of concerts that are not like older rock bands, but this one was so good.
Yeah, I had never been to Hard Rock Live, but it was actually really cool. But we had saw him in the beginning of October, and then Harry Styles at the end of October, and we were in LA at the time, obviously seeing Harry Styles, and we were walking around Beverly Hills, and this random street interviewer came up to us and asked us the best concert we had been to. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and it was funny because we had literally gone to Harry Styles I think the day before, and we were like, oh, well, I remember I was like, oh, I just saw Harry Styles, but I was like, honestly, Lil Nas X, I saw him earlier this month and he was incredible.
Again, it was so different though. What, like Harry Styles was much more like, I went and saw a rock band.
Yeah, it was like
the show is the spectacle. Lil Nas X, he had dancers, costume changes.
So many dancers.
His was like a play.
Yeah, because that's his whole thing. It was like act one, act two. And then,
Dude, the costume changes?
I was gonna say, he had costume changes.
This is another topic we're going to have to talk about with live performances. This was my big ick with the Harry Styles show. I understand he had custom, like, costumes.
Okay, so does Harry. So did Taylor Swift. What?
No costume changes.
No costume. Not one. Not one costume change. Fucking Lil Nas X. I think he had like five.
It said seven.
Yeah, I was gonna say seven, but I thought I might be being.
And they were
dramatic.
All done by like Coach, right?
Yeah. Coach. Yeah, or the person, the like the head designer of Coach.
Yeah, like the head of production or whatever.
And they were immaculate outfits, and all his dancers had different outfits, and all his dancers were incredible.
That show was so much fun.
They just had so much energy. The set was amazing. The outfit changes were amazing. It was just like, and we paid $60 a piece for these tickets. That was
probably the best value of a concert I've ever been to, ever.
Seriously, it was just so incredible. And I was so happy I got to see him live because I loved his album. So I was like, so stoked to see him live. He was incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is up with men never doing concert changes?
Outfit changes?
Oh, yeah, sorry. What is up with men never doing outfit changes? Every female artist I've seen, they do at least one. Most of the time, three.
I think Olivia had like four in like an hour and a half.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe even the Jonas Brothers now, I don't feel like they did when we saw them, but I saw someone saying that.
I think they did.
The Jonas Brothers had a costume change, like one. Yeah. I keep saying costume, it's outfit. It's the same thing.
Whatever.
On a concert, I guess it's kind of the same. But yeah, what is up with that?
Men will be like, oh, you like that? Let me just take off my shirt and that's going to count.
Literally, but like.
Or they'll unbutton their shirt, yeah. Even worse.
But Harry Styles annoyed me a little bit with that because I was like.
You're known for fashion.
He's known for his fashion. And he's known for all these. What I do appreciate about him, though, and I will like give him a little bit of slack for not having outfit changes, was that every single concert had a different outfit.
That is my saving grace for Harry. Is like,
yeah,
do you want to see six outfits in one concert or do you want to see 40 outfits across 40 concerts?
I think the different outfits for different concerts is smart because then everyone's like stalking your Instagram to see the outfit that you wore at that concert.
It pinpoints that exact show.
Yeah. And that is
also
nice for
all
him.
Of his stuff was like hand done by like, I think a smaller designer.
Oh, that's nice.
And like, dude, I mean, the attention to detail was there. Like he had a matching mic pack cover for every single outfit. So like, again, he put in effort, but I see some people that go on tour, like pretty decent sized tours. So they're just like jeans and a t-shirt don't change.
Yeah. That's like Ed Sheeran literally just wears.
I mean, that's his vibe. It would be weird if Ed Sheeran came out in an outfit change.
That's fair. But like Drake, I don't think Drake does an outfit change.
I don't know. I saw him wearing this like bone costume. He looked like when you kill Yoshi and. Hold on. Have you not seen it?
No.
I'm going to pull it up and we can actually take a clip of this and we can pop this one on Instagram.
But does he do an outfit change? Because he's also like. I wouldn't say he's like a fashion king, but he's like into clothes.
It looks like when you like. You kill a Yoshi in Mario and like the bones are just laying on the ground.
Doing him dirty. Wait, what the hell? I didn't know I was going to have bones on the back.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, that's kind of cool though. But wait, is he doing different outfits then for each night? Because.
I don't know. Let's see.
Because that'd be pretty cool.
Drake have.
Okay, here's the real tea. Maybe me and Austin don't pay attention enough to concerts and we're giving these people, these men, some heat for something that they maybe not even. Are doing.
Drake has multiple outfit changes in his shows and doesn't always wear the same thing.
Oh, see, scratch everything we said. We're pieces of shit.
Some people don't. That I didn't say true. Drake. You said Drake. You're the piece
I
of shit.
I said, does he? I wasn't saying he does it. I was saying, does he? Because I haven't seen
any of his. Yeah, I think he does.
It's shocking. Drake is not on my For You page.
He's on mine.
Well, makes sense. Look at your camel hat.
Yee-yee.
Hive Mind, that too. We also saw live. They're not technically a concert, but.
They were great. Super funny.
They are an amazing YouTube channel who does music content. And you guys should check them out if you haven't already.
Damn, she's doing recommendations already?
That's not a recommendation. It's just a little
shout out.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, they need a shout out from us. Like
I'm invoicing them.
Their channel isn't like five times bigger.
But yeah, I don't know. Live concerts to me are like the best thing. Do you want to talk about worst concert experiences? We might as well. Like we're already here.
Yeah, actually, I do have a worst concert experience.
I have two.
Right? Oh, he has two. Oh, I know what one of yours is. I'm thinking of a different one though than I think you are.
What are you thinking of?
This is sad though because I was really excited for this concert because we were going to see Black Bear and I had never.
This is what I was going to mention.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I had never. We had neither of us had either ever seen him live, and he's one of our favorite artists, both of us, and we were so like we had liked him. At this point, at this time, it was 10 years we had been listening to his music.
I was listening to Black Bear when he wasn't even Black Bear.
Yeah. And so we were like, finally. Yeah, Sex Mixtape. Got that shit on my phone still. And we were like, finally, we're going to be able to see him live. And then it was outside in June in Tampa.
Yeah, middle of summer. It was in a courtyard at Janus Live, which is just like.
It's like
it's got to be the
degrees.
Hottest goddamn venue that I've ever. It's like an. It's not even a venue. It's like a courtyard at a shopping center.
Yes, it is so tight. It's only standing room. It is so hot because it's the summer in
Multiple
Florida.
Multiple people were like passing out having heat strokes.
Yeah, it's like 1,000 degrees. It literally probably is like literally over 100 degrees. Like if you were to take the temperature. Oh, in that facility? Yeah, it was so hot.
Oh, dude, it's way hotter.
You don't get the wind because it's you're like boxed in.
And it's all on like a blacktop. It's like you're standing on pavement.
That wasn't even anything of his fault.
Bear did great. Bear put on an amazing show. And then Gashi Open.
He was amazing. He had some energy. But the people around us were quite annoying. And then it was 1,000 degrees and we all thought we were going to pass out.
Yeah, that was rough.
So, yeah. And then, like, you couldn't go to get water because then you weren't coming back. So I was like, okay, well, we're all just going to stand here and feel like we're going to die. It was not a great experience.
That one was a bummer because, like, it was nothing to do with any of the performances. Like, Bear was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
was
honestly,
amazing.
By the time Black Bear got on stage, I was, like, too exhausted to even sing, dude. Yeah. I was like, I'm fucking...
Gosh, he did almost a too good of a job.
Yeah, yeah. He was fire. But then we went and saw Bear again at UCF, and it was great.
It was amazing. And we were around the nicest people. These two girls were literally so incredibly sweet. And they, like, pushed me up to the barrier so that I could see him when he was coming by. They were really, really nice. I remember those two girls.
And then, yeah, the other worst, I think probably for both of us, was, like, doesn't hurt my heart to say he's like my favorite artist of all time, but it was the Weeknd's tour.
Mm-hmm.
We went and saw him in Tampa at Raymond
James.
We just
shouldn't go to Tampa to see concerts is what I'm
think
saying.
That, yeah, because my issue with this one was also mostly the people.
Yeah.
So we were floor at a football stadium.
Yeah, Raymond
and
James.
So this is also when I decided I'm too old to sit floor. I don't care. I'll never ever do general admission, but I also don't really ever want to sit on the floor again.
We're too short also. We're both short.
Yeah,
so.
I'm 5'6". Miranda's 5'3.5".
Yeah, so it doesn't really work for us very well.
But like, again, it was hot. It had been raining, so it was humid.
Well, it also it didn't help that on the way there, it was pouring rain. And if any of you guys have ever been to Tampa or live in Tampa, you know that for whatever reason, despite it raining all the time in Florida and it being by the beach, there's no drainage. Like if it rains,
yeah,
you're legit in like 2 feet of water. Like it was above people's car door, like the water when they were driving through it. I was like,
I swear to it would have been up to your knees.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like actually insane.
We stayed at a hotel 2 miles away and it took us over an hour to get to the stadium.
Yeah, I think it took us an hour and a half.
Yeah, probably.
And we thankfully prepaid for parking. So like
that was awful. By the time we got in, we were already just like, oh, God damn, this has been annoying. And then the show got delayed and delayed and delayed.
Because of the rain.
So the Weeknd came on very late.
And then we didn't even get
the
opener.
We missed Mike Dean. Kay Tronada did like a half set because it had rained on half of his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so like by the time the Weeknd got up, you hadn't really seen any openers. You kind of just been sitting there for a couple hours in the on and off rain.
And it was August again.
Hot.
So hot. If you're an artist and you're playing an outside venue, do not come to Florida in the summer.
No.
It's too damn hot here.
Especially because we have indoor venues.
Yes, we have indoor venues. Go to Orlando or stop going to Tampa.
Well, the football stadium's outdoors, but go to Miami.
What football stadium? Camping? No, I'm talking about Kia Center.
Yeah, but the Weeknd's tour is too big
for
that.
Yeah, the Weeknd's tour is too big. He should have went to the Dolphins Stadium in South Florida. I'm pretty sure that's indoors. No?
It is.
And then, but we have a lot of stadiums or areas in Orlando that are indoor, and so many in Tampa are outside. And I don't know why, because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And then people come here in the summer. And I'm also like concerned for the artists. It's like, you're running around on stage in the middle of the summer in 100 degree weather, like in a full on outfit. It's too much.
So the scene is set now we were already frustrated before like the show even started. But then once the show started, we were in seats. We were like, I think 10 rows back from the stage.
Yeah, it was really, really close.
And we were like right on the edge where like the aisles would have been. And then as soon as the show started, literally everybody, there were probably 30 rows of chairs. We were in the 10th. Literally everybody from the rows behind flooded the aisles. Security didn't really stop anybody.
No, they didn't.
They got
anything.
All in front of us. People started standing up on their chairs. Everybody was like smoking. It smelled like smoke. It smelled like cigarettes and stale weed. There were like white people saying slurs. It was like a really strange.
They were singing along to some lyrics they should not have been singing along to.
Yeah, it was just a weird experience. And all of that said, like the fans were really annoying. It was annoying that like we couldn't see or really hear anything because everybody had just like flooded. And then
they can't do a camera, a TV in the middle because there's no middle.
Yeah. So like there was no Jumbotron to watch.
Yeah.
And then like I love the Weeknd. He's great. But like at this show, there was like no crowd interaction. There was like no special moments. It was like one of those things I was like, feels like a really long version of the Super Bowl. And so
I
probably would have been
a
little bit more sympathetic had I not sat in hours of traffic in the rain and had I not been around some of the most annoying people I've ever met in my life. and had it not just felt like a really claustrophobic experience.
Yeah, I am like, claustrophobic. So I was like, I think I did have like an anxiety attack when I was there.
The set was really cool. Was the band was really great. Like yeah, the weekend sounded great.
The dancers were amazing. The concept
just
was really
have,
cool.
Like, enough personality to me, but like I also understand The Weeknd's kind of like one of those pop artists that kind of relies on mystery, and,
yeah,
and he's not super, he doesn't talk a lot, he doesn't do interviews, like
no.
I understand, but then I think too he was probably just getting his legs for the tour, because I saw clips of like later shows where
yeah.
he
seemed
was
like a
interacting a lot more, yeah, and so I think we might have just gotten one that wasn't on
also
mixed
the
with
bad
the
thing.
Weather and the shitty people.
Yeah. Also the bad thing about being in Florida is a lot of the time the concerts do start on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, for whatever reason, I'm sure we could ask Riley about this. Maybe he knows. They do start over here, like around
yeah.
in the South or Florida in general. Like it's always around that area. Like even Taylor on her concert, she started in Arizona, but then for some reason ended up here. I don't know how the logistics work, but her concert in Florida was soon after she started.
Yeah.
And then, but we saw her in Atlanta actually, but, and the same with Olivia Rodrigo, like.
We were her third show, I think, fourth.
Yeah. Like she hadn't done too many before that.
I think maybe people just like, it's easy to start in the Southeast and then work your way up North and then go out West. It's
yeah.
like, it's
I think
the
too, they just want to get Florida over with. Cause it's like, you don't realize unless you've been here or you live here, it's such a big state. Like if you're driving,
especially if you come down to like Orlando or even worse, if you
saying.
Go down to Miami.
Oh, if you go to Miami, you're traveling for 1,000 years.
It takes
like,
8 hours basically to get from the border of Florida and South Georgia and then
yeah.
down to Miami.
Yeah, we're in Orlando, which is central Florida, like literally central Florida. We're still 4 hours from Miami. Like we are, it's like so far. So if you're in Atlanta and then like that's your last show and you're coming down to Orlando, that's a 6.5 hour drive. And I imagine with the whole setup and on a tour bus, it's a little more like 7 or 7.5.
Yeah.
And then if you go down from Orlando to Miami, that's another 4.5-5 hour drive. And it's like, that's such a big chunk when you're
yeah.
in like the East Coast. Like
yeah,
the
people
Northeast,
will play like Philadelphia
know?
And then New York City back to back. And then Boston, they're an hour and a half apart, two
yeah.
hours apart.
Yeah, so it's
like all those Northeast spots are the easiest. I think West Coast is a little stretched too, because like, people will
West
hit
Coast
like Seattle,
just Florida,
they'll
just
hit
California.
Portland, and then they'll hit like 3 California stops. But I mean, you basically have to span the whole coastline for like
yeah.
5 shows.
Probably why they usually start over here and then end in California. Like
a lot
the
of them also
stretches.
Too like live out in California. Their production companies
yeah.
and their rehearsals are out of California.
Taylor doesn't live in California.
No, I know, but like I'm sure that a lot of her production company is.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing too, is like for these live shows,
it just makes more sense too. She did like 7 shows out there.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
They have to practice for weeks, if not months in advance to like get ready. And so like, it, I don't know. It's the logistics of a tour could honestly be like a whole nother episode.
Oh, I can't think about the logistics of a tour because it stresses me out.
Our friend's a tour manager and he showed me like the day plan basically for like his tour, and I was just like, this is my literal nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
He has to like sort the band in, get everybody in their hotel rooms, get everybody on their flights, then he has to make sure that all the equipment's following. And so like that was for a smaller tour. Imagine something that's like a stadium tour or an arena tour. It's just, that's what I'm saying, there's like so many people working, there's so much happening.
Yeah, because there's so many people that's like on the stage, like even with Olivia Rodrigo, I think she has 5 band members, maybe.
Yeah.
Like including
something
her,
like that.
Or maybe 7, including her backup dancers. I don't know. And then like she had maybe 7 dancers that came out
mm-hmm.
intermittently. But like that's just the facing people. That's not all the people you see in the back who are like the techs and the sound people
yeah,
and the makeup artists.
You have your sound
artists.
Person. You have your in-ear tech person, you have guitar techs, you have drum techs, you have cable techs. Like it's a lot, dude, for a show that size. Like she's probably traveling with 60 people.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking like dozens of 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
Like, I think Taylor's tour is like 60.
Yeah,
she had 2 sets of that.
Yeah,
so like these tours are quite the undertaking. So like when an artist puts one on, that's why I like to try to go if
mm-hmm.
possible. It's like they put in so much time and such an investment of effort and honestly money. Like these tours are millions of dollars to put together.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, like it's just one of those things of like, to me, seeing a tour is the best way to support an artist financially. I think it's the best way to support them like emotionally, like for them to see their music be sung back live is like life changing. Mm-hmm. Like you see artists all the time that they don't realize how much they love making music until they play a show or they go on a tour mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like,
or they get so inspired after they do that.
That's the reason that I don't ever take my artist stuff too seriously. Somebody just asked I did a recent like ask me anything on Instagram during my tattoo appointment. And somebody was like, would you ever like be an artist? Do you ever want to tour? Like, do you ever want to play your shows live? And I was just like, honestly, no. Like, that's why I don't release more as an artist, is because to me, like, I like doing it. It's fun to me, but like, I don't ever want to tour. I'm not like a traveler like that. I have a wife at home that like I want to stay at home with and chill. I have businesses that I run now, and like, unless the tour was huge, I'd probably lose money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, touring is like not something that I'm interested in. I would love artists that I work with to tour, because I get to work on that music too. So it doesn't make a difference to me if it's a song that I release as an artist or a song that I produce for Joan. If I see 100 people singing it back, it means the same thing to me because I worked on it.
Right.
So to me, like, I like being behind the scenes. Even doing the YouTube videos and the podcast and everything can be a bit much sometimes in terms of like being forward facing.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever tour personally.
I think it takes a certain person to be a touring artist, because it's like, you got to have a lot of energy and a lot of patience, and you really have to be passionate about what you do. You can't have a day where you just wake up and you're like, I'm not really feeling it.
No, because people pay money to come see you. They travel to see you. Like,
there is no feeling it. There is no, oh, my head hurts. I'm going to take a nap in the middle of the day. It's like, nah, you're screwed. You have to do your job because thousands of people paid to come see you.
Yeah. So the people that I know that do tour regularly, that's their favorite part of making music.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I know that that's not me. It's because that to me is the most dreadful part of putting out music, is like, are people ever going to want to see this live? Would I ever have to tour? Where, you know, like, Platinum just did his first tour. It was like the best time of his life. Mm-hmm. Like,
and you can tell he has so much fun, so much energy.
And like, I think that's what makes an artist, is like, how can you connect with people? Like, are you going to go hang out at the venue and like meet people and sign stuff? Are you going to go take pictures? Especially when you're getting started, like, that's your chance to connect with people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sort through Instagram DMs. So I don't know, if you're an artist listening to this and you have a catalog, like, maybe think of trying to put a small tour together, or even buy into a tour package where you can open just to get some experience. And if you're just a producer or a music consumer, try to go to as many shows as you possibly can. That's one thing I'm trying to do more, is like, I feel like this year we've gone to a lot more live events than normal.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I enjoy them. Like, I feel rejuvenated after them. I feel inspired. And it's just, it's one of those things of like, if I halfway like somebody, I think I'm probably just going to go see them live now.
Yeah. I think I saw someone say that. I don't remember who it was or when it was, but it was a while ago. And they were like, oh yeah, I just love going to live concerts. Like, even if I like halfway like the artist, or I just like some of their songs, like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of crazy at the time. And then looking now, I'm like, no, that makes total sense. Why would you not?
I totally get it.
It's such like an incredible experience. And I don't know, like, you're always going to remember that. And like, I don't take pictures, or I take a few pictures and like a couple really shitty videos, because I really don't like to be on my phone at the concert, but
right.
You don't even need that. You don't even need the photos and the videos on your phone. Like, you're going to remember it.
Yeah. That is one thing that, like, at the Olivia Rodrigo show, literally the like opener song came on. Holy moly. Dude, I've never seen more screens in my life. And like, I get it, but like, I don't know. To me, it's like, dude, you're there. Just make the memory. Like,
yeah.
Especially now that everything's archived on YouTube anyway. Like,
yeah.
God forbid you don't remember it. Just go watch somebody that probably sat four seats away from you. Like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So like, but I don't know.
But then if everyone,
like,
does that, no one has concert videos.
Concerts get filmed from the venues and get put up online.
Not the Olivia Rodrigo concert didn't.
Nah.
I mean, maybe.
There
I
are like whole channels
does,
that like are dedicated to come out and filming them.
Yeah. I hope she does, though, do like a
tour doc.
Yeah.
I guess that's one last thing that we could talk about before we wrap this up, since we're on the topic of like live shows and touring.
Yeah.
Tour docs.
I love a tour doc. Even if I didn't go to the tour, I want to watch it. I love it.
So Ariana Grande had a good one for one of her tours.
Yeah, for what's it called? Excuse Me. I love.
Was it no Sweetener? Thank You Next.
It was the Thank You Next tour, but I don't remember what the name of the documentary was. But it's basically her live show and then like intermittent, a couple like behind the scenes things.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. It was really,
it was
really good. Yeah,
so good.
And then Lil Nas X has one. I don't know if it's actually, I don't think it's a concert one though. It's just a documentary.
I think it's like how he put together Montero.
Yeah, I did it with HBO. We need to watch that. But yeah, I love a tour doc.
I love a good doc anyway. Like, that was literally our last podcast episode. Was like, dude, just make a documentary about anything that you're doing. Like, dude, film your studio sessions, film your tour, film. Like, I like seeing artists that I know when they go on tour just post like weekly tour recaps. Like, it's so fun to see. And like, I like kind of seeing, especially when like artists will pull back the curtain and like show what it looks like behind the stage or what it looks like under the stage or look like.
Yes, I love, you know, seeing under the stage.
Like, what does an outfit change in the middle of a set look like when there's 20,000 people outside waiting?
Yeah, Taylor did that with her. Well, at the end of her Reputation doc that she had, she had like clips of underneath the stage, her seeing the stage, her them doing their practice or whatever.
We need to see the Beyonce one when it comes out.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Definitely going to see that when it comes out.
Yeah, I love a tour documentary. So even if you're a smaller artist, document your tours. Yeah. It's free content.
Please.
And some jabronis like us are going to want to see it.
Jabronis again. There you go.
Jabroni. But yeah, the day. I love, love, love watching tour documentaries. I don't know. Something about, even if I can't go to the concert, like, it makes me feel like I still got to kind of see it. But then also, too, it's just one of those things of like, you get to kind of see how the cookies are made.
That's
how
I also was going to say, I think it's fun because if you're like, I don't know if I'd care to see that artist live. And then you watch their documentary and you're like, oh, damn, I do want to see them live. So then the next time they come in town or come near you, you can go see them live. It's kind of smart marketing for that reason alone.
100%. I 100% agree. But I think that's all I have in terms of talking about.
Yeah, we've talked your ear off enough.
Live shows, touring, live music in general. Hell, even if you don't go see a tour, just like go to a bar and like drop a $10 bill in somebody's guitar case if they're performing live. Yeah. It helps.
Comment your guys' favorite concerts that you've been to, or your least favorite, or both.
Yeah,
I would really love
share
to
your concert
hear
experiences.
Yeah, I love hearing people's favorite concerts. I think it's such a good like conversation.
Even somebody small, like I grew up in the rock and metal scene. I used to go to like local shows at the American Legion.
I mean,
weekly. Like,
I mean, technically the Lil Nas X show. I mean, it's not that small. Not American Legion small, but
3,000 people.
Yeah, but that's pretty small for how big he is.
Yeah,
yeah.
But other than that, let's hit some recommendations before we sign off on this thing.
Well, it's your turn. I did it last time.
We both go.
But since when? Last time you didn't go.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You lie. You lie like a rogue.
All right. Let's see.
Is that a Southern saying? I feel like it is.
Dude, Southern people just say the weirdest shit.
Lie like a rug.
Yeah.
Sounds like it, right?
I was born in Alabama, so like half my brain is just nonsensical.
I mean, yeah, I'm from the South, technically.
Things like that. Like knee high to a grasshopper.
No one fucking says
lie like a rug. Sure-footed as a mountain goat.
Oh, that one I never heard. You had told me that one. I'd never heard that.
Dude, Southern.
That's very Southern. I'm like Florida South, so like...
She's panhandle trash.
Yeah, panhandle trash, so.
Okay, my recommendation. What's it going to be? Oh, I know it.
Oh, that was quick.
If anybody is in South Florida, specifically Miami / Coral Gables, we recently went to Miami last week with a couple friends. Shout out Gage and Brandon if y'all are listening to this.
Love you.
But when we were down there, we went to me and Miranda's favorite restaurant in the entire world. It's called Minty Z. It is a vegan restaurant. We're vegan, but before you crucify me, everybody that I've ever seen try it that's not vegan also loves this place. It's amazing. It's like, it's Asian food. It's kind of like dim sum style, but they also have larger plates. And it's just so good. It's kind of like Asian fusion. Like they kind of have, they have like Szechuan noodles. They have like bao buns. They have like gyoza.
Yeah, like Kung Pao tofu.
Yeah, they have like a cauliflower kimchi.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix.
But we went with our friends Gage and Brandon. We were there for like 2.5 hours. We took 2 bottles of wine. They do have a corkage fee if you want to take your own wine. I think it's $25 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. Took some wine from Golden Hour. You'll have heard us talk about that place before. And dude, we ordered so much food. We ordered like 15 menu items.
It was so good.
We ordered dessert. For dessert, we got these little like dumplings that were filled with like a chocolate, almost like a spicy chocolate ganache.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had like, oh my God, they had like a house-made whipped cream.
It was so good.
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
I was gonna say, we have to eat lunch after this. So I don't know why we're talking about that.
So if you're ever down there, they also have brunch. They do like bottomless brunch where it's like unlimited dim sum for like $50.
Yeah.
But
it's in Coconut Grove.
Yeah, Coconut Grove, Coral Gables kind of area.
I think that's the same thing, but I'm not really sure. I'm not from Miami, so I don't know.
But if you're in like downtown Miami, it's like a 15-minute Uber.
Yeah, you guys should go if you're in Miami.
It's the best food I've ever had. Everything was great. Their wait staff is amazing.
Yes.
The owner, she's super sweet. So if you're down in South Florida, please try Minty Z. And if you go, tell them we sent you. They have no idea who we are, but maybe if enough of y'all say that, they'll learn who we are. And then they'll make a location in Orlando. Which is like our ultimate goal.
The dream.
But then that's my recommendation. Are you sure you don't have one? Gotta leave people with something.
Why? Do you think I have one?
I don't know.
Oh, you said that like, oh, I know what you're going to recommend.
What have you been into? Music wise?
I'm just listening to the Olivia Rodrigo album still.
Yeah.
She did just release the deluxe, so it makes me feel less bad about listening to the same music all the time. Well, you know what? I'm going to circle back to what I said earlier, and you guys should go watch the Hivemind channel. That'll be my recommendation.
Love it.
They're a great channel. They're really funny. It's Graydon and Riley and DJ Grant. Sorry, I can't forget DJ Grant.
And Dignan.
Oh, sorry, Dignan. But they're really funny. They do like music related content, mainly hip hop and rap, but... So if you like that kind of music, you'll really like their channel. But I don't even care for the kind of music. Like, we don't have the same music taste, me and them, but I still love their channel. They're really, really funny.
If you go check them out, do tell them we sent you.
Yes, please.
I would love to secure a Make Pop Music Hive Mind collab.
Oh, that would be incredible.
So Riley, Graydon, Grant, go listen.
The chances that are so slim.
Other than that, yeah, I think that's it for this week. I'm having a great time doing this podcast. Let us know what you want us to talk about
in the comments down below. Thank you for being nice to me.
Yeah, thanks for being nice to her. I don't want to have to kick ass in the comments. And then other than that, we'll be back in 2 weeks with audio on Mondays, videos on Wednesdays. Make sure that you subscribe or follow or whatever on whatever platform you listen on. Share it with friends. You know, we're trying to get this podcast growing and growing so we can do it even more regularly. I'd love to get it to where we can do it weekly eventually.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But, you know, it's a time commitment and we have other things that we're working on at the moment. So other than that, I think that's going to do it. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. But until then, much love, peace.